You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Keep this coach going, Pilgrim, no matter what.
Yeah, we roll right into a trap. There's a cliff right ahead.
Well, steer her around.
I can't. The steering's out.
Well, then hit the brakes.
No brakes!
Well, I thought I gave orders to have this coach serviced at Perfection Auto Works for their 26-point inspection, Pilgrim.
Well, we took it to Tombstone Stagecoach Repair for their 2-point inspection. Here comes that cliff!
Well, it's every man for himself.
Doggone it, that coach went flying off the cliff. How did you ever survive that?
Well, I have a lot more pictures to make, Pilgrim.
Hello, Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works.
Get out of here, dog nabbit, you varmint. You talk too much. Just take your car to Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650, or perfectionautoworks.com.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue. There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the holidays. And now you can feel a new sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood homestyle gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. January 9th, 2021. A violent mob, loyal to President Trump, stormed the U.S. Capitol Wednesday. You saw it, you felt it, you heard about it, and you know it. It forced lawmakers into hiding and stunning attempts to overturn America's presidential election, undercut the nation's democracy, and keep the Democrat Joe Biden from replacing Trump in the White House. Reactions to it? Don Jorgensen will be with us, the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Then we'll talk with Sam Stone, GOP strategist and consultant. And then Jim Hanley has her financial report. Let's go to Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I have to believe it now, Don Jorgensen.
No one could. I'd hope to say Happy New Year, John. It's the first time I've talked to you since New Year's Day, but we can't say that today.
We can't.
Obviously, unlike any of us have seen in our lifetimes. And if you ever wondered what it would be like to watch an attempted coup live on TV, that's what we saw. If you saw it in any other country, you'd call it the same.
You know, Don, this is not the end of the Trump era. It's maybe the beginning of a Trump era of overthrow of the federal government, for the simple fact is that there are threats on the 17th of January, on the 20th, when Biden is sworn in, and a continued, I think, discussion about whether America is still under siege from some of the same people that we saw at the nation's capital with all the destruction on the Wednesday, January 6th. This may be the beginning of some terrible times for us.
Well, I'll disagree a little bit, John. I think it's the beginning of the end for the Trump era, not the end. As you say, there are still these violent mobs out there, the white nationalist QAnon groups. You can lump them all together now as domestic enemies. enemies of the United States, that they've kind of been outed now, you know, as anti-police, as anti-law enforcement, certainly anti-constitution. And Trump has also now been identified clearly as the one who fomented this violence, who helped instigate it, who incited an insurrection. And the reason I think it's the beginning of the end is for the past 4 years, we have had prominent Republicans in Congress, in the states, acting either in support or as bystanders because it was all about power for them. Well, those are the rats that in the past couple of weeks were fleeing the sinking ship. Well, the ship has sunk, and now they're lucky to be able to swim to the surface and try to get away, as we're seeing with some of the spineless Republicans like Marco Rubio, and then even worse, those who I think are part of the, you could call it GOP Sedition Caucus, led by Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. But those are the folks that allowed Trump to continue to gain this power and really gave aid and comfort to these enemies of the United States. They're running away from it. And I think they're going to realize real quick as more and more video comes out, more and more pictures, more and more evidence of the destruction that was done, the hate that was brought to the Capitol, unlike we've ever seen before, that they're on the wrong side of history if they stay there. And these folks have been outed not as patriots, but as domestic terrorists. So I think it's the beginning of the end for Trump. Not that we can predict what he's going to do, but I think these folks will slink away. You saw how quick Mitch McConnell ran away from him, and how, you know, the biggest flip-flopper in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, ran away from him. And I think we'll see more and more of that in the coming days and weeks.
We're talking with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. And Democrats have laid plans just yesterday for the impeaching of the President of the United States as he's headed out of the White House. The House Speaker, of course, Nancy Pelosi, said she'd spoken with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff about preventing an unhinged, quote-unquote, Trump from ordering a nuclear strike in the final days. I mean, just to have that conversation is insane. I mean, how can you? I mean, seriously, you're going to talk about the President of the United States blowing up part of the world or maybe destroying most of it as he walks out the door? And a serious discussion about that? Good Lord, Don, good Lord.
It's stunning. I mean, this is what we've been dealing with for months and months. Every time people say, oh, that will never happen. Oh, he wouldn't do that. He did it. You can't put anything past this person who is, you know, he's deranged, certainly not right. And we've known for a long time, and you can put any psychological labels you want on him, but no one is safe. We can't predict what he's going to do to hold on to power and relevance at all costs. And so we're left with three options. The first one is resignation, and folks have laid out reasons why he might resign and to do so that Pence could pardon him and he won't face any legal judgments. Well, if they think that, they haven't been paying attention to Donald Trump. He won't resign. You know, he believes he should be president for another 4 years, if not longer. That's just not going to happen. The issue of the 25th Amendment is off the table because, again, we saw immediately two members of cabinet, instead of standing up to him, slink away and resign, and Elaine Chao and Betsy DeVos, and I'm sure there's more that may do that. So you're left with impeachment again, and I'm proud of, again, Nancy Pelosi for standing up and calling it like it is. The reality, though, is that it's unlikely to happen. Even if the House impeaches, which they can do, and they can do it in a day or 2 days, starting on Monday, it then goes to the Senate, who isn't scheduled to meet until the 19th, the day before inauguration, unless 100 senators agree to meet early. And again, with folks like Cruz and Hawley in there, that's unlikely. And so there could be impeachment, and there are some reasons that they might go ahead and do that, but it won't get him out of office before January 20th, unfortunately.
What do you think the future of the Republican Party will be in the very near future in 2021? It cannot resemble what it clearly is showing now. It just can't. There's not much left of it if Trump is gone, and soon he will be.
Right. Well, it has been exposed. And you're right, it can't go on the way it was because they kept all this hidden. But I will tell you that even on Thursday, it's my understanding that the Republican National Committee had a national breakfast meeting. Trump called in and was applauded.
Good Lord.
And was told how much they love him still. That's still the Republican Party. And as we see in Arizona, many of these far-right enemies of the United States are members of the legislature in Arizona. You've got folks like Mark Finchem, who was there in Washington.
A total nutcase. Let me just say this. He is a total nutcase. That you cannot listen to him, hear him, or follow him in any way, shape, or form without realizing how batshit crazy he is. Period.
No, right. He is a seditionist. There is no getting around that, who supported this insurrection, as did Wendy Rogers, another member of the state legislature. And it'll be curious to see, if we want to know how the GOP is going to respond, how the Republican Party is going to respond, let's see what happens on Monday when the Arizona State Legislature convenes, and if they're going to do anything about these folks. That's in Arizona. On the national level, you have the same questions with the just abhorrent behavior and comments of folks like Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs and Debbie Lesko, who represent Arizona in Congress and aided and abetted these folks who, again, attacked the United States of America.
I'm curious about whether anybody can avoid the reality that Trump influenced the Georgia outcome and turned the Senate of the United States over to the Democrats. I don't think there's any doubt that he had an influence on that election. As close as it was enough to show two Democratic senators representing red Georgia. Unbelievable. Nobody would have ever thought that 6 months ago, 6 days ago, yeah. 6 hours ago. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, and there's two great points you make there. I'll start with the negative and then the positive, and both are kind of positive. Number one, you're right. Donald Trump, I think, did achieve another first in addition to inciting insurrection in the country. He's the first one-term president to flip the White House, the House, and the Senate to the other party, to the Democrat, while in office. So we have to thank him for that, because you're right. He did have an influence in Georgia, like he did in Arizona, and it was so negative. We have two states who, in the course of 2 years, flipped both Senate seats to blue in Arizona and in Georgia. Now, the other point that I want to make here is how shameful this has all been. In that it's taken away the focus on what a historic achievement that was for two Democrats to be elected senators in runoffs, which is astonishing, in Georgia, formerly severely red state. And that's a tribute to the voters there. It's certainly a tribute to folks like Stacey Abrams and the other active Democrats who've worked tirelessly the last 2 years to make that happen. But what a celebration that we should be having for that. What a celebration we should be having. And I think we still will in 12 days to see Kamala Harris become a vice president of the United States. I mean, these are great days for Democrats and great days for America, tarnished by these seditionists and enemies of the U.S. and the Republican Party.
We're talking with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. I want to talk about Governor Ducey of Arizona, this strategy, and making us number one in the world when it comes to the spread of the coronavirus. Our death toll is climbing. The numbers of those who are ill is dramatically increasing. And we are in serious trouble in Arizona. And yet there is no change in the direction that the governor has pushed us toward, which is keep business open, no need to worry, nothing going on here, other than the fact that we're killing hundreds every single day. Let me take a quick break, Don, and we'll come back with you in just a moment. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party, after these messages.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Adopt from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona and you'll save more than one pet. You'll also make room for the next pet in need. Adopting from the Humane Society is different. We have healthy, loving pets in clean facilities, a stress-free environment, and knowledgeable staff to help you find the right pet for your family. Open daily at 635 West Roger Road. Learn more and see pets online at hssaz.org.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib. We bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share Our American Stories, 4 to 6 p.m. weekday afternoons on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
1030 The Voice has news and politics for your morning. With the new administration, what's on the horizon?
I think the next 2 years are going to be critical for the Democratic Party, are going to be critical for really framing and shaping what that party is about, who it serves, and how it messages. The Democrats won the presidency, but you look down ballot, it's troubling.
Wake up Tucson, Tipping Point, and Hugh Hewitt, weekday mornings on 1030 The Voice.
Your source for prep sports in Arizona. Beyond the box score. Behind the headlines. Arizona Sports Preps 365 on ArizonaSports.com.
This is Arizona Sports Preps 365, covering everything under the Arizona high school sun. As we bounce around the state, we do it every single week.
Arizona Sports Prep 365, Saturday evenings from 6 to 8 on 1030 The Voice.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Arizona experienced spikes in the COVID-19 cases since last spring. We all know that. Governor Doug Ducey has resisted calls to take strong measures. He has declined to institute a statewide mask mandate, allowed school districts to mostly make their own choices, and allowed businesses to stay open. And now we are the hot spot of the world. Hot spot of the world, number one in the world. We're dying at a higher rate than anywhere else, with higher numbers of cases of the COVID-19 ready to kill even more. Let's talk again with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. I know this might sound political, but we have a Republican governor that has not changed his mind about the approach to the coronavirus, and we're all paying a terrible price for it. Don?
Well, you mentioned before the break to talk about Ducey's strategy, and my immediate response was to say, what strategy? Because there's been none. It's been a real textbook case and a failure of leadership. Back in the beginning of this, if you go back to March, April, and May, the governor had several opportunities to take strong action to reduce the outbreak then. He didn't do it. When there were recommendations to wait an extra 2 weeks before opening up businesses and opening up gyms and such, he didn't do it. Each time those decision points came, he failed to make the decision or he made the wrong decision, which has led us to where we are. As you say, he's got a first, or we're number one in the increasing rate and such in Arizona. And so has been settled. Governor Doug Ducey is a failure as a leader in times of crisis, where we've had some very good examples of strong leadership. And I'll put Mayor Rahina Romero at the top of that, along with some other Arizona mayors who have done all that she could to protect the citizens in Tucson. We've had at the state level, Kathy Hoffman, Superintendent of Public Instruction, come up with at least consistent or coherent plans to protect the safety of educators and students. And each time, Doug Ducey has done the opposite or done nothing. Now, there are folks who have said, well, if he had done this, he'd been wrong, or if he had done this, it would have been too soon or too late. Part of leadership is assessing the situation and adapting as needed. He hasn't done that. He has just stayed almost with his head in the sand the entire way. So I'm really wondering what happens to Doug Ducey after this, because he only got two more years. There was talk of him perhaps running for one of the Senate seats, but this is going to hang around his neck. And when I say this, we're talking about the thousands of deaths in our state that could have been avoided. It's just a complete textbook on how to fail in times of crisis.
You know, if we were criticizing the governor, it would be about the budget and about the amount of money that is allocated for schools and about the protection of big business over small business, of whites over browns, and all kinds of things. But what we're talking about now is life and death. We have a governor and a health director who don't care. Their goal, in my opinion, is to vaccinate their way out of this. That's what Will Hummel, head of the Arizona Public Health Association, said. Eventually, he said it'll work. There's just going to be a lot of dead people in the meantime. We're talking about lives here. We're not talking about dollars, education. We're not talking about all kinds of things, prison reform, blah, 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 blah. We're talking about life and death here. And the decisions this governor makes will result in X number of people dead. And where we're headed now, it's going to be a hell of a lot more dead than needed to be. And if it's your family or my family or friends or whatever, it becomes even more personal. It's about life and death. That's how serious this is, Don Jorgensen.
It already is. As we said, it's gone beyond partisanship. This is about life and death in with this pandemic. And all you have to do is compare the state of Arizona to a state of similar size. One of those is the state of Washington. Same population, similar demographics, and yet their rate of cases and rate of death is, I think, less than half of Arizona's. And all Doug Ducey had to do was stand up and make the hard choices and hard decisions, stand up to the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, which he failed to do, to protect the citizens of our state. And now that can't be undone. The only movement forward now is to work with the hospitals, with the pharmaceutical companies to get the vaccination process in place and help as many Arizonans that we can to get vaccinated as quickly as possible and to work on that message. If you can't do that, at least do PR about advising folks, recommending that folks get vaccinated, because that's the only path forward to saving lives in Arizona. Everything else is he's failed and it's too late. But having the vaccines isn't enough. It's the vaccinations that make the difference. And I hope that the governor marshals all resources and gets the Republican legislature to do the same, to put the funds out there to make sure that vaccinations get done. And parallel to that, that the small business owners that have been suffering for months and months get the help they need, and that the folks who are unemployed through no fault of their own get the help they need.
Don Jorgensen, thanks for being with us. It's great to talk with you. Thanks for sharing your weekend with us. Thank you. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Keeney's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The breads, the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite. And Keeney's French Cafe offers a casual atmosphere and a delightful French cuisine at moderate prices. Dine in or take out. Keeney's is perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering special coffees, lattes, French wine, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Keeney's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have become Tucson's destination to dine in or take out.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. One of the first diagnostic tools of a good mechanic is his nose. Radiator, transmission, and brake fluids all have distinctive smells, so a good starts the process. We don't put masks on our mechanics so they can do their job of detecting and fixing car problems. We don't mask your car symptoms either. When your car has an electrical, air conditioning, or even that funky smell in the interior with the AC on, like hound dogs, we sniff those problems out. And all without a mask. Call today, 323-8650. Air conditioning, brakes, tires, complete auto repair, foreign and domestic. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Sam Stone is one of the smartest political consultants that I know. I respect him and like him and don't always agree with him, but let's find out about the future of the Republican Party from Sam Stone. Sam, welcome to the show. Is there a future for the Republican Party and for Donald Trump?
Well, I'm not sure what the future is for Trump. I don't think in politics. We'll see what he does. But for the Republican Party, all the wailing and gnashing of teeth is overblown. I mean, massively overblown, especially because, frankly, while Democrats may be rejoicing about Georgia, guaranteed and 100% guaranteed, they're going to pay for that badly in 2022 and possibly 2024.
You're talking about the Republicans retaking the Senate and perhaps the House, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, and I had no particular concerns with a Republican, not as a Republican, but just as a person living in this country, I had no concerns at all about what would come out of a Biden administration with a Republican Senate and a Democrat House. You think you were going to get a fairly reasonable set of policy coming there. What you're going to have now is the extreme left driving the agenda, because they have a real control over media and a lot of academia and that kind of thing. And that has enormous power within the Democrat Party. They're going to be putting out the most radical proposals imaginable. And Democrats, the problem is that woke 20% pushing those on the Democrat Party, that's 10% of the country, 12% of the country. They are going to run into a real big wall real fast.
So let me get this straight. It's over for Trump. Trump is not going to be relevant at all after the 20th of January, 2021?
I think there will be plenty wailing and gnashing on his part, but the fact of the matter is that people who think that somehow Trump is going to stay in office are just being delusional. You know, Trump himself, I'm sure, will make a fair bit of noise here and there, but the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, there are going to be real policy things happening that affect people's lives. And pretty quickly, they're going to start to look to what do we do, to moderate that and hopefully get back on a little more of a bipartisan course somehow.
Do you foresee that? Anything bipartisan out of this next structure of government with Biden in control of the Senate, the House, and the White House?
Yes, because I think they're going to end up with that overreach I talked about. And I think the reaction to that is going to be to moderate the Dems that run in the next election fairly significantly, as we saw much more in the last cycle than this one. And likewise, I think you're going to bring in a lot of Republicans who, look, hate him all you want. Donald Trump hit a nerve with blue-collar Americans who have been ignored and left behind by both parties. And there is a big place for Republicans without Trump's cult of personality issues and his, you know, rhetoric and every evil, awful thing about the way he has handled, especially the last few months. There is plenty of room for Republicans to address some of the key policy issues that he was addressing very appropriately towards that segment of the population who can take on that economic populism without the negative baggage.
Will he go down as the worst president in our history, as some would suggest he is?
Well, I mean, since academics generally write the history books, that's certainly what they're going to say, regardless of what happens. And certainly, his last 2 months are the worst of any president in history. There's no question of that. My firm does work, as you know, all across the country in elections. get out the vote, work, that kind of thing, in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in key states, when people started saying, hey, there's these lists of thousands and thousands of people who were illegal or dead or double voted, we said, great, show us the list. We will run those down. We have field teams in place. They can do this just like they can go, you know, out and go gather votes. They can gather this information. We can confirm 100% what happened if you give us those lists. No one ever gave us the list. And we're, you know, we're connected to the RNC, to the campaigns, all these things. So that was just bull. Trump was feeding into that. He convinced a huge segment of the population, and it is just ridiculous. And it hit issues with Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, with the form of elections being decided by judges and by unilateral mandate by secretaries of state, that is very much unconstitutional, both in the state constitutions and the U.S. Constitution. I would love to have seen those issues pursued separately, and instead it all gets lumped in with this sort of tinfoil hat junk.
Let me ask you, obviously you seem to be somewhat confident that Republicans will gain the House 2 years from now and the Senate.
I don't know about the House, John, 2 years from now, but I'm very confident we'll retake the Senate in 2 years. And then, you know, I feel strongly that depending on where Democrats go, it could be bigger than that, but at least the Senate.
Let me ask you about Doug Ducey. We are now number one when it comes to the coronavirus escalation and threat to our health and welfare. Does he appear weakened more so than ever before in his two terms as governor of the state?
Well, I think he's had to walk a difficult line. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that the virus prevalence goes up, it goes down. Worldwide, nationwide, there's no evidence that lockdown measures make a whole lot of difference. So at the end of the day, the only thing you can do is a hard, hard lockdown, total lock everyone in their homes kind of thing. And then the minute you let that up, it pops right back up. So the answer there is the vaccine. And he's had to walk a tough road. I think it's very much hurt him politically. I don't think he has the same future that he might have had before this, for sure. Just because I think he's hurt himself with Republicans and Democrats. Politically, you needed to take one or the other line here. You needed to either be a hardcore lockdown artist or you needed to go in the, you know, Florida, South Dakota direction. And that's the only thing that's going to satisfy either side on that one.
Final question for you, Sam. How blue is Arizona?
It's not. I mean, that's silly when you just had the only, you know, you had Martin McSally, who frankly in her two Senate runs was just unpopular. And then you have the president who really, I think, Cindy McCain and his fights with the McCain family. You had, I think, 43,000 people who voted down ballot but left the presidential line blank in the state of Arizona. So those were unusual circumstances. Everything else held. You know, the state house is still Republican. The state Senate's still Republican. It's still a purple state.
Sam Stone, it's great to talk with you. I appreciate you appearing on our show during a weekend where you could be doing something else, and I thank you for that.
It's always, my pleasure, John.
It's always great talking with you. Always learn from you, and always appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
You bet.
Sam Stone, he works for a city councilman in Phoenix, Saul DeCicco, is his chief aide, and he is a consultant to the GOP nationwide. And I've always enjoyed talking with him. I learned from him, and I respect him. Glad to have him on the show. I'll be back next with Jim Hanley. Jim is our financial expert. There's a lot of great advice coming your way after these messages.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the holidays. And now you can feel a new sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood Homestyle Gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Jim Hanley is one of the most respected financial advisors in Arizona. He joins us now. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
I'm real good, John. Thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I want you to talk about a lead-in for the very dismal jobs report for December. And then I guess the stock market, you would suggest, just shrugs that off. And perhaps you can tell us why. Also, perhaps talk a little bit about an offshore strategy you might have. Go ahead.
Hey, John. The big news for December was that for the first time since April, we had a negative jobs report. There was the economy shed a net of 140,000 jobs, and this was almost all of it was in the leisure and hospitality sector. So, you know, I think transportation is in that, hotels, those kinds of things is where the layoffs were, and that's not surprising because, you know, through the fourth quarter, the pandemic was growing, and there was more effort to, slow down the activity that people were doing, going out, those kinds of things. So that was significant, and then we had Thursday's event. And yet the market closed yesterday at another historical high. The Dow did, you know, with 31,000 points. So, you know, I just figure that, investors are continuing to ignore the current situation. We have definitely, the economy is slowing. Continuing to slow in this first quarter. There's not a lot. I mean, here we have a new administration. The Biden administration is certainly taking a very sharp turn policy-wise from what we had in the Trump administration. And still there is this, this confidence that, that we're seeing. So, perhaps it is that there is some realization that the social equity parts of the Biden platform, I'm talking about a federal minimum wage of $15 an hour and the fact that Pete Buttigieg has been named transportation secretary. There's, speculation that Buttigieg is going to be pushing hard for a lot of federal spending in transportation, which will be jobs, which will create jobs. And the $15 an hour federal minimum wage, if the Biden administration is able to at least push in that direction, that will mean that workers have much more disposable income. So that's purchasing power, and I think the economy runs about 60% on consumer demand, and so if you have workers with larger paychecks, they have more disposable income. That is an increase in consumer demand, and there's a lot of pent up demand. People have been laboring. Many of them in their 30s at $10 an hour, and that's all they've ever made, you know, just, you know, living hand to mouth. So if we are able to push in that direction, it will mean that there is more of our production is distributed at a lower level where that's translated into consumer demand. So I don't know if investors are seeing that and seeing that as a positive for growth, which, you know, I think it is.
By the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about your offshore strategy. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, John, we've been offshore for 2 years. It's a contra position. Generally speaking, as advisors go, I think for the most part, advisors are still primarily focused on, on domestic stocks and bonds. But a couple of years ago, I started listening to research affiliates who've had this contra position for a long time. And they've been studying demographic trends. So I've talked before on the show about, productivity and what it takes to increase productivity. You have to either have technological, new technological developments, or you have to have a larger workforce, one or the other, to have economic growth. And the United States is growing at about 1.2% population-wise. We have about 61% is our workforce participation rate. And this pandemic has been suppressing that. People don't look for work. They don't think there are any prospects out there. So when they exhaust their unemployment benefits, they don't go out and register again. So the participation rate is lower. This is not the case in other parts of the world. In other parts of the world, especially in emerging markets, sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, we have growing populations, and so and we also have increasing infrastructure. We have infrastructure development. We've got better, more stable governments. You know, I think a lot of people might scoff at that, but, with the advent of cell phones and the internet, it's harder to fool people and to have, tyrants, dictatorships hold forth. So I think that, and not only I do, but research affiliates believes that prospects for economic growth are better especially in emerging markets than we have here domestically.
By the way, Jim, before I let you go, looks like there's going to be another round of stimulus under the Biden administration. We got the $600 and now perhaps another $2,000. How significant are these checks to so many people in this country, to not only the economy, but to the overall health of this economy in America?
Well, John, they are quite significant, and they're really a lifeline for tens of millions of Americans right now. As I mentioned, many of them have exhausted their unemployment benefits, and so this might give them another month, another 2 months, in order to stay in their homes, in their apartments, and so it's very significant. Now, I also like the fact that, because I am concerned about printing new money, and that's where the stimulus money has come from so far, that there were income limitations. I talked about that last week. $75,000, you'd start to get a reduced amount of that $600. And people who are making $99,000 a year got nothing. So I would expect that if the Biden administration is able to bring forth another stimulus package, it's likely they will, that there will also be income limitations. Because after all, we saw Well, I think I saw 30% of the CARES Act $2,000 checks went to debt service. So, you know, if people are, and they need to pay off credit card debt with that money, they're not spending. You know, they're not going out and, you know, and shopping retail or online, which is the biggest, you know, intention for that money. So I hope that there is more stimulus coming from, you know, the Biden administration, because after all, I think, you know, this quarter is shaping up to be the worst of all, you know, in terms of the ravages of this pandemic. California, we've seen those stories. You know, I don't know if your guests earlier talked about that or not, but ambulances got no place to take people. They, you know, their morgues are overflowing. You know, in New York, this, you know, the same way, one in 500 people have died of COVID.
Oh, this is getting to a point where it is such a horrible tragedy. Jim, we're just about out of time. I want people to give you a call, 623-3646, 623-3646. You can explain to them what you do and how you help people. And I can't tell you how much I respect you and how sound your reputation is throughout the financial community of Tucson. And I appreciate you being on the show and being a part of our show. And I hope you have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
It's always a pleasure.
It's always great to hear from you. 623-3646. Jim Hanley. Give him a call. He can protect what you have and get you what you want. Period. Simple. 623-3646. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone.
This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works. If your car is pulling to one side, making strange noises, takes too long to stop or start, you're gambling on maintenance. It's not just the car, but the people in it. At Perfection Auto Works, we do brakes, oil changes, tires, alignment, general maintenance, major services, and vehicle restorations of all cars, foreign and domestic. From the hood latch to the trunk lock, Perfection Auto Works can handle all of your auto or truck repairs. Call Perfection Auto Works today at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com.